Well, good morning, Crestwood. I remember when I was a little bit younger. I was in one of the churches in which I grew up. I was there, and there was this fellow who had gone to seminary from our church, and so he was back. It was over holidays or something like that, and so he had been invited to preach in our church, sort of a way to help him continue with his studies. And so I remember sitting and listening to him and being with a group of people from the church later, and of course the conversation turned to, you know, what they thought of the fellow who had come back. And, you know, I don't remember exactly what he spoke about, but I remember sliding into my pew and sitting and listening and getting something from what he was saying, And I just remember it being a good experience. And so, but I also remember sort of people gathered together and stuff talking about it after the service and saying, you know, oh, you know, he was, you know, it was fine, but you know, he told a lot of stories, and you know, stories are fine, but I really like meat in my sermons, and I'm being younger. I didn't really know how to think about stuff like that, and so I just remember thinking, yeah, stories are the worst. And what's fascinating, looking back on it now, what's fascinating about that is that somewhere along the way, we have become convinced that storytelling and teaching are two different things. And that you know, storytelling is fluffy and filler, and that, you know, teaching or preaching is that is just mostly about, you know, factual, propositional, dry. And ne'er the twain shall meet. And what's fascinating to me is that we are moving into a portion anyway here of Mark's gospel where Jesus begins to teach regularly using stories, and that it is one of his favorite ways to teach is that and often he makes up the stories that he uses. He invents little stories that are useful, that hit home, that talk about things that are familiar to people and so make the truth relatable. And you know, far from kind of what my experience had been before, where mature worshipers wanted meat and not stories, I don't think it's quite the case. You might not be as mature as you think if you would be complaining about the preaching of Jesus. Storytelling can be done poorly and all of that, but what we're coming to now are a series of places where Jesus teaches primarily through story, and we usually call those stories parables. They are little fictional stories that Jesus tells, and then sometimes makes the purpose of the parable crystal clear, as he does this week, and sometimes leaves it a little bit open-ended and just lets the story take its effect. And so sometimes we will be looking at large chunks of Scripture because it takes some time to tell the story, and then it takes some time to explain the story. And that's what's happening this morning. So we're actually looking at 20 verses in chapter 4 this morning. We're going to read them, and it contains both the parable that Jesus tells, and then there's sort of a side story at the end where he's not with the huge crowd that he's speaking to at the beginning, but he's with his 12 and a few others that were there with him, and they start asking him about his story, and he explains its meaning. And so it's not all that useful to talk about the story without talking about its meaning, so we're going to take the two together. And what we're looking at this morning is usually called the parable of the sower, but the sower really isn't the point of the story. The point is the soils, the different kinds of soil that the seed finds as it is sowed. And so it might more accurately be called the parable of the soils. And so open up to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 20 verses. Again, he, Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let's pray. Our Father, as your word is brought to us this morning, we pray that you would give us hearts of good soil, that we would hear the word, accept it, believe it, and bear fruit. Holy Spirit, soften the ground of our hearts this morning. Make us receptive to the word sown among us, that it might take root in our hearts, that it might withstand trials, troubles, our cares about money in this life, that it would go deeper than all those things, and that through that faith given to us, we might bear fruit for the harvest of Jesus Christ. Teach us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start in the middle. We're going to start in the place where Jesus talks about the purpose of the parables. And then from there, we're going to talk about this parable and what it means. So we start with the fact that a parable is a double-edged sword. Verses 10 through 12. "And when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" So Jesus has told this parable that once he teaches them what it means, says that it's essentially about our our hearts. What our hearts are like when we hear the truth of the gospel, when we hear about Jesus, and then how we respond to it. And so Jesus says that for those who are there, who are listening to him and who are believing, his disciples and those gathered around, to those with soft hearts who receive the message, parables are meant to reveal the truths of the kingdom of God, that they're meant to teach, they're meant to encourage, they're meant to open up the truth, they're meant to direct them. And it's not that they're always the easiest to understand. We find a number of places where the disciples need to ask Jesus what he means when he tells parables. But to those who are coming with soft hearts, to those who are coming with faith, parables are meant to open up the truths of the kingdom of God. They're meant to teach them and encourage and comfort them. This is why Jesus closes the parable in the way that he does in verse 9. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And even when we sang, "Let us love and sing and wonder" this morning, one of the lines in one of the verses is that God, who is gracious to us, gave us ears and gave us eyes. It's not that all of us, you know, had no ears and had no eyes before we believed in Jesus. It means something spiritual. It means that he gave us ears to hear him and believe him, and he gave us eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that he who has ears to hear, he who is going to hear what I'm saying and believe it, let him hear, let him pay attention, let him learn. And Jesus is referring to a few passages, but to one in particular in Isaiah. When Isaiah is called to go and preach to Israel, as God is commissioning him, he says this thing, that Isaiah is going to go and warn the people that they have eyes, but they're not seeing, they have ears, but they're not hearing. And so we're going to, just because it's helpful in understanding what the parables are all about, we're going to read from there. So that's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So it's Isaiah's commissioning as a prophet. We'll start at verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.'" Okay. So God is sending Isaiah as a prophet precisely because the people are hard-hearted. And he's going essentially to warn them that without them softening their hearts and listening to the Lord, that they will never be healed, that they will never know God's love and forgiveness. Okay? So to those with hard hearts, unwilling to hear, unwilling to change, unwilling to commit to the message of the kingdom, Jesus says that the parables are warnings of the danger of rejecting Jesus' message. He says parables for those who are hard-hearted, for those who are outside of the kingdom, parables are so that they can see but or that, so that they can hear but not understand, that they may see but not perceive, that they may hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Again, almost a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 6. So Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6. This is God's charge to Isaiah. And so Jesus is saying that for those who come and listen, want to hear from him, want to understand, it might not come right away, it might not be the easiest thing all the time, but the parables will be for them an opening up, a revealing of the truths of the kingdom. It'll be to teach them, to love them, to encourage them. And for those who come with hard hearts, who are there for whatever reason, trying to trap Jesus, they're just interested because he's doing a few miracles and they think that'd be kind of cool. For those, Jesus says it's actually serving as a warning that they're hearing him speak of the truths of the kingdom, but they don't understand, they can't grasp it. It's a warning of the danger of rejecting Jesus' message. And so parables in many ways are two-edged swords, that they cut both ways, that they will both encourage and they will serve as a warning. Jesus is promising forgiveness of sin, eternal life, the rule of God's just and righteous kingdom. It's healing in the fullest, the kind of healing that Isaiah was hoping that God was going to be sending him to tell to the people. So in speaking in parables, Jesus' words are words of life to those who will listen, to those who will ask, to those who will work through what he is teaching them, to those who will understand. And they are words of healing and of promise and of comfort. But to those who are hard-hearted and reject the words of Jesus, they're words of warning. Without ears to hear, you will not turn and be healed. So that's why Jesus speaks in parables, as he gets to do two things at once. He gets to teach those who are there with faith, who are believing, and he gets to warn those who are not. Okay, so what about this parable of the soils? You heard the parable. Let's hear Jesus' explanation of it again in verses 13 through 20. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Okay, so as we said, the soils of the parable represent the responses of various hearts to Jesus' message. And Jesus calls the seed, what's being sown, the word. Jesus is talking about the earthly appearance, what it looks like to everyone looking around, seeing what happens when people hear the good news. He's not talking, and this is tricky, because sometimes Reformed folks such as ourselves will want to read this passage and hear Jesus talking about predestination, and hear Jesus talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating our hearts and in granting us faith and in making us able to hear him. And that is assumed in the sort of language and pictures that Jesus is using, but he's not talking about hearing the word from God's perspective. He's talking about it from our perspective, what it looks like to us when people hear the word, the sort of responses that we see from people, where some will just sort of reject it out of hand, while some will be there for a little while and then things get difficult and they take off, and some will seem to kind of stick with it but care about everything else more than this, and so there's not very much to them, there's no depth to their faith, and then others who it takes root and you see the love of God in them, you see their faith clearly playing out in the way that they live, you see them telling other people about the hope that they have, things like that. And so this is the way that Jesus is speaking in this parable, is of what it looks like to us when people hear about Jesus. And I know I've recommended this to you before, but I love the ESV Study Bible. If you're looking for a study Bible, it's just really, really good. It's the gold standard of study Bibles. And so in their notes on this passage, they gave these little labeling for the different hearts that Jesus is talking about, and it was too good not to use. So I just want to give credit to them and to whoever wrote the notes for Mark for the labels that we're going to use for these hearts, because they're so helpful. So Jesus talks about the indifferent heart. Okay, he talks about seed that is sown, and that it it falls along the path, and the birds come and eat it. He says in verse 4. That's the first picture that he gives. And when he explains the parable, he says that these are the people that they hear the word and then Satan snatches it away, is what he says in verse 15. And essentially what he means is that these are the people who simply do not respond in any way to the good news, to the good news about Jesus. The picture Jesus gives is once the good news is heard, Satan says, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And the person goes, No, absolutely not. And that's the end of the matter. It's not that Satan is necessarily physically there and involved anytime someone doesn't receive the good news. He's giving a picture of total indifference, of an indifferent heart to the things of Jesus. Maybe even a heart that's opposed or hostile to what they're hearing, or just simply indifference towards the good news. To hear that God loves them and wants to forgive them and call them his children and offer eternal life and go, meh. That's what Jesus has in mind. Now note this, and we're going to come back to this at the end, but I want us to note this, is that Jesus' point isn't that you figure out which kind of heart each person has and then you only give the seed to the people who are going to receive it. It's not the point of the parable at all. Jesus' point is that, as a matter of fact, in his parable, he talks about the seed being sown everywhere. He talks about it going to everyone, that the good news is offered to everyone. The sower spreads the seed everywhere. But the hearts inside the parable are going to sort of proceed from indifferent, from saying meh, saying I don't really care, all the way up to completely receptive, to hearts of faith. But he says to spread the seed everywhere, okay? Jesus is working up to what the heart of those with ears to hear is going to look like. Okay, so he starts with the indifferent heart. Then he talks about what they call an opportunistic heart. An opportunistic heart. In verse 5, Jesus says that this is like seed that's spread on rocky ground. On ground that's very stony, very rocky. There's not a lot of soil there, maybe a thin layer on top, but there's no room for the roots to go down really deep from the seed that is being sown. All of these words are so closely related to each other, it's hard to say them properly. Seed, sown, sower. Okay, so there is soil that is on top of rocky ground that is not particularly deep. The seed has no room to put down roots. And Jesus says that these are people who hear the good news at first. They respond quickly and joyfully, but soon they become bored or they become troubled and they leave it behind. Jesus says when difficulty comes, these people leave the faith behind, leave the word behind. That's what he says in verse 17. And we've known people like that, right? Who have heard the gospel, who've heard good things about Jesus, who have believed it at first, said, "This is really cool. I really like this." And then it just gave it a tiny little bit of time, or all of a sudden something became slightly awkward for them because they were starting to associate themselves with Jesus, and so they just split and give up on the thing. It didn't quite work out the way that they wanted it to. They thought maybe they were getting in with a God who was going to give them absolutely everything that they wanted, and it didn't quite work out that way, so they take off. The opportunistic heart likes the idea until it actually costs them something, and then they're out. Jesus also talks about the interested heart, but ultimately one that wants other things more. People who receive the good news from Jesus and hold on to it for a long time, they never really reject it, but they also never really seem to care about it all that much. Everything else is more important. Jesus says it's like soil that's choked out by weeds and thorns when he's telling the parable in verse 7. And that the thorns that choke it, he says, as he explains it, are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and cares for any other thing. He's describing people that they have hearts that they say, "Oh, Jesus is cool," But I'm just going to take Jesus and I'm going to put him in the back seat while I care about all of these other things more and first right now. There is no sowing of the seed to others. There is no love for neighbor. There is no harvest. There's really no faith to speak of because the most important things are everything else. Getting more money, making sure that I'm advancing in my career, making sure that I get all the stuff, I get all the toys and everything that I want. Just every other thing is more important. And then lastly, he talks about the heart of faith. This is the one that Jesus is referring to when he says, those with ears to hear, those who are listening, those who want to hear what he says, take it to heart, believe it, and then follow him. Jesus calls this the good soil in verse 8, and they accept the word and bear fruit is the way that he describes them in verse 20. Essentially, it's responding with faith. It's hearing what Jesus says, realizing that the hope that we have in the kingdom of God is better than any other nice thing that we might get in this life, including the money and all of that stuff that pulls those other hearts away, the interested hearts away. Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be this kind of soil, to keep that other stuff at bay that wants to pull them away, to listen to him, to take what he says to heart, to wrestle through what he's teaching them, and then to want to follow him. He's not telling this parable so that they can make an index in their brains of all the people that they know and then categorizing them as indifferent, as opportunistic, as interested, as good, and then, you know, just sort of spending time with the good ones or something like that. It's not what he's doing. It doesn't seem to be the purpose. Jesus encouraged the seed to be sown to everybody, to share the good news with everybody, no matter what kind of heart they might have. And after all, it's only God that knows the heart anyway. To love your neighbors, no matter what kind of heart you might think that they have. And that includes everybody, no matter what kind of heart, and even loving our enemies. Jesus is urging all people who listen, here's the point, especially as he's telling the purpose of the parable to those disciples that are gathered around him afterwards. He is urging all of them to have receptive hearts, to be good soil, to listen to the word that he's telling them, to hear the message of the kingdom and believe it, to wrestle with it and accept it, and to share the good news and show the love of God to everyone. Believe Jesus, love God, love your neighbor, and share the hope that's in you. For those with ears to hear, Jesus is telling them to guard their own hearts against indifference, to becoming hardened and callous towards his teaching, to warn them against getting to the point where they hear about forgiveness and God's grace and all of these amazing things that Jesus is telling them and go, whatever. To guard themselves against giving up when things get difficult. Realizing that believing in Jesus might actually cost us something at some point along the way, and to realize to have those roots taken so far deep into our hearts to go that I know that the promises of the kingdom are better than avoiding whatever amount of pain or awkwardness or whatever it is in the present moment is going to be worth it to hold on, to keep believing in Jesus. To warn them against loving money and respectability and all the rest of it more than Jesus' good news. Letting Jesus talk about every area of their life except what they do with their money. Or how they live their lives. Or the things that are most important to them. Guarding against that stuff because it'll keep us from letting those roots dig down deep into our hearts. It'll prevent us from the Holy Spirit giving us faith to follow Jesus. So for everyone here, whether you're hearing about Jesus for the very first time this morning, or for the 1,000th time, the 10,000th time, hear him. Listen to him. Wrestle with what he's saying. Accept it and believe it. Because through it, Isaiah says, you will be healed. And that's the point that Jesus is making, is that for those who come and hear with faith, that here they will find forgiveness. They will find God's love. They will find healing. They will find the promise of eternal life. They will find the life promised in the kingdom of God. Let it sink deep into who you are, and let the way of Jesus be your guide. More than an easy life, more than money, more than anything else, believe Jesus, love God, love your neighbor, share your hope, and receive this very best of news, that your life is not the sum total of your bad decisions, that it is not on you to earn your way into God's good graces, that no amount of loving God or neighbor will make you worthy of God's love, but that he promises forgiveness for all of your sins, welcome into his family, and eternal life simply by believing that Jesus, as the Son of God, died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, and he rose again from the dead so that you too might have life on the other side of death. And we get this not through anything that we can do, but just by receiving and believing his word. Let that seed sink its roots deep into you. It is the very best news. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. Protect us and guard our hearts against the things that lead us astray. Holy Spirit, make our hearts soft and receptive to hear Jesus and be amazed by him, to put our faith, our trust, our hope in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Our Father, help us not to be led astray by indifference, not to run away at the first sign of trouble, and not to let money, success, respectability trump the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, give us hearts of good soil and plant your word deep inside of them. Keep us as your children. As we hear the stories of Jesus over the coming weeks and months, open up their truth to us. Teach us, encourage us, show us the good news of the kingdom. And let us rejoice with our Savior at the good news that he has come, that he is here, and that he is coming back. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're coming to the Lord's table this morning, where we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. We are reminded that his broken body and shed blood makes us acceptable in his Father's presence. We're going to prepare our hearts singing, "We Will Feast in the House of Zion," and I'll invite you to stand as we sing. Please be seated. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and gave the cup to his disciples, he said that he would not drink of this cup again until he drinks it new in the kingdom of God. He was speaking of what this song